You're listening to Rambling Business, the only multimedia podcast with Rick and Brandon,
where we get into your business no matter where it is.
And today we'll be talking about the Saintly Santa Barbara chocolate and how it can sweeten up your business ideas. We continue our journey with the Sweet Santa Barbara business series. And before we take you to wine, we took you glass blowing and to an old stagecoach shop. So I guess from glass of wine to making the glass to don't drink and drive. That's especially a stagecoach.
That's right.
But now
the best time.
The best time. After you make this big trip, we finish our series with dessert. Specifically with Chocolats du Calbresson.
Hey, that's pretty
good.
Is
that pretty good?
Pretty good for a guy from Southern California.
That's true. Who took Latin in high school. Never even took French. Went to France once.
Yes.
Had one of those little dictionaries, and I used to say, un crabe noir, s'il vous plaît. Which means one black crab, if you please. That was like all I learned.
And you said that when you were just buying a ticket to get onto the metro?
Exactly. Oh, that and je suis cool, which means I am cool. But enough about my vacations. When Rick and Judy were up at Santa Barbara, they went up to State Street in downtown Santa Barbara. Great place to walk around. And gave in to the temptation of visiting Chocolat du Calbresson. I'm just going to keep getting more and more French as we go. You can find their website link on www.ramblingbusiness.com, our website. And what makes this business unique, rather than any other chocolate shop, is that the chef, Jean-Michel, used culinary sauce techniques to make chocolate. And he is from France.
Yes.
So the home.
Not Whittier.
With a name like Jean-Michel. I'm sure there's a Jean-Michel in Whittier.
Yeah, I'm sure too. Yeah.
Anyway, get your ticket punched and have a seat. We'll give you some business takeaways, travel tips, and of course, tax tales.
So our story starts when my wife, Judy, and I went to Santa Barbara and looking for unique businesses. And we came across a chocolate place on State Street. Now, what makes this place so unique, as Brandon was saying, is it's owned by two people that have hyphenated first names.
Yeah, that's true. Mom must have loved it. Is that why she chose it? Because she has a hyphenated last name.
That's right. I know. But, you know, having a hyphenated first name, Jill Marie Carré and Jean-Michel Carré, that just has a lot of class.
It does.
You know, a lot of people have hyphenated last names, but how many people, the first name's not good enough, we have to hyphenate it.
Well, it's interesting. It seems like a lot of people from the South do.
Do they? Without hyphens, though.
Like Bobby
My Jean. My dad was Bobby Jean. Mm-hmm. You're right. Yeah, from Tennessee, but he didn't hyphenate it. In fact, I don't even know if he knew what a hyphen was, to be honest with you. But so anyway, Jill was actually raised in California, and Jean-Michel was in Resson, France, which I love that.
Resson.
That's right. Which is in the southeastern part of France. And he basically studied cooking in France from the age 15. So very much like me, when I started in our family's Italian restaurant at that age, I didn't study like him, but I kind of watched, you know, the Italian family's cooking.
So southeastern means he was right next to the English Channel, looking over at the English.
Southeastern?
Southeast.
Southeast. That's by Italy.
Whatever.
You never did too well in geography, I guess.
I never had a compass in my life. Well, actually, no. My first car had one glued to the front, but it was broken.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
Well, you couldn't take it to France. So
no,
there it is. So anyway, he worked in France, England, Switzerland, and also now California. And he was an expert in sauces, which I love it because I love sauces. I've been to little cooking classes and learned to make sauces.
It's called the saucier. Not joking. Like, that's
really
someone
that's
who
saucier.
Yeah, because there's chefs that only do make the sauces in big restaurants.
There we are. And he blended these unusual flavors. And so they had a restaurant business for over 35 years called Restaurant du Calbresson in France for 12 years before returning to California.
And it's actually a really interesting name because it sounds like some sort of French, you know, something that's going to mean the castle, like king of the castle or something. But it's actually just a combination of the places that they grew up,
that's
which
right.
is California
I know.
And Bresson.
So let's see. I grew up in Culver City, mm-hmm. and your mom grew up in Playa del Rey. So would it be Playa de Corvo?
Culver de Rey.
Culver de Rey. I like that. Good. That's right. We should open up a business like that. So your mom and I saw this wonderful chocolate place on State Street in Santa Barbara, and we went inside. And so your mom started talking to these three charming ladies who were working behind the counter and asking about what kind of chocolate she should buy. She asked for a recommendation. While she was doing that, I was actually videoing the inside. I told them what I was doing, and they said, well, you have to talk to the owners about doing the podcast. And I said, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But while I was there, I took video. So I had no idea what she was buying. And so she got a recommendation of two chocolates. All right. And, I said goodbye, took my pictures, and we walked. We walked outside, and we're on State Street, and it was kind of a busy intersection a little bit. And what we always do, your mom took one of the chocolates, and she bit into half of it. All right. She started eating it, and she gave me the other half.
Ew. Ew. No, I'm that's not a big deal.
So we're now crossing State Street. All right. So I got the chocolate in my hand. All right. So we start to cross State Street. I put it in my mouth. Now, have you ever been in a restaurant where they serve you something really good, and you take a bite and you stop?
Yeah.
And you kind of like look up and you go, wow, this is great. All right. This definitely was chocolate you can die for, because I stopped in the middle of the street.
In an intersection, you can die. You can die if that happens.
That's right. This chocolate was so good that I almost, I thought I was going to die for a minute there, because the little hand was going like beep, 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 coming down, countdown. I saw my life going. Yes, it was so good, I stopped in the middle of the street. And so definitely it was chocolate I could die for.
Yeah.
It was that good. The one I had this kind of salt, had salt in it. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember exactly which one it was.
I'm going to bet it was sea salt.
You know what? I think it was sea salt.
Sea salt's great in chocolate.
And so I talked to the owner. I talked to Jill Marie, and I learned so much about what they do and why they do it so well, and why this type of strategy that they used to make this business successful is something that even somebody that doesn't even have a chocolate factory, a chocolate bakery, or anything to do with food could actually learn from. So what Jean-Michel did is that he took his expertise in sauces with all these different kinds of flavors, and he was able to translate it into chocolate and using a lot of the same types of things that he would use in these wonderful chocolates, like in truffles. He would do truffles. And so that's why I stopped, is because it was so unique. You know, it wasn't like, you know, going to Rite Aid and buying a box of Whitman candy, right? Mm. And, same type of candy. Well, it's funny because that's why I was crossing the street. I was actually going to Rite Aid across the street, but it wasn't to buy chocolates.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, chocolate is just a really thick sauce.
I guess.
If you just keep thickening a sauce, it'll eventually turn into a truffle, right?
You know what? You're going to have that discussion with him. But, you know, she told me it takes 3 days because they have to go so many different kinds of layers and how they mix this stuff up. And he gets these kinds of things to put into it. He has things like an avocado truffle.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, it's just things you never even hear about. And they started their first store in Carpinteria. And they actually checked out from Napa all the way down to San Diego on what would be the best place. And they ended in Carpinteria. They liked the environment. Had a lot of things that they needed, and so they were able to do that. And he used these sauce techniques and this knowledge to make these unbelievable chocolates. And if you go to our website, we'll have a link to his video showing how he makes them.
That's special.
So what we'll be talking about on our business tips, our takeaways, is that how you can take something that doesn't appear to be an automatic no-brainer in a new business from an expertise that you may have had in the past and leverage it in this new business in order to create a beautiful work of art.
You're listening to Rambling Business. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Rick E. Norris and Accountancy Corporation. If you'd like to get the full experience, check out our website for videos, music, pictures, takeaways, and travel tips. www.ramblingbusiness.com. And now it's time for our tax tales. Tax tales. So today, since we're talking about sweets and chocolate, I wanted to talk about chocolate taxes, which is funny to think of now since chocolate is so ubiquitous. You know, you can buy it at CVS or Rite Aid or wherever you were going. But, you know, back in the day, it was imported from the New World. Mm. It was a luxury product. So Louis XIV, the Sun King, issued an edict levying taxes on chocolate because it was so popular. At the end of the 17th century, chocolate made it to Germany, which was welcome. But since it had a restricted import policy there, Frederick I of Prussia slapped a tax on it. So basically, all over, chocolate has been a big tax benefit. And I think the funniest one that we found was much more recent. In 2004, Norway's finance minister was getting a lot of complaints because basically people who had these Norwegian chocolate factories were protesting how high the taxes were. Mm-hmm. And not only on chocolate was done there, also imported chocolate. So actually, Norway's finance minister, Per Christian Foss, he presented a poem on the website to address this. For some reason, I don't know why he did it, but it was a poem.
And you being a poet.
That's why it was my favorite.
That's great.
And though it was in Norwegian, we had a translation, and the best part was, live sweet in the hope of feeless fest. Tax-free chocolate probably tastes the best. So I guess he just kind of owned up to it. But he still kept it in because chocolate pays for a lot of government stuff.
Yeah.
Now, time for our travel tip.
When you're down in Santa Barbara, don't forget to go to the Santa Barbara Harbor. Now, there's lots of fun things that you would do down there that you could do at other harbors, including whale watching. You can actually go there.
Good whale watching up there.
But one thing that we found that was very interesting when we were sitting there eating, that they actually have water taxis.
Oh, cool. To get across the harbor?
Yeah, just to go to all the different restaurants, kind of, you know, just around it. Yeah. And I have only seen water taxis once in my life.
Italy?
That's right.
Yeah.
In Venice, Italy. Venice.
Gondola.
Well, water taxis, like speedboats.
Yeah, exactly.
but yeah, that's the only place. So that's kind of a fun thing to do.
I remember that from Indiana Jones. They get chopped up.
The Knights Templar.
Did that happen to you? Do you get chopped up by a big propeller?
Yeah, that's right. Be careful then, Santa Barbara, the Knights Templar.
And now, time for our takeaways, where we tell you what specific things you can implement from what we've been talking about on the podcast. The first thing to think about is if you're a small business person with specific expertise, try repacking it to appeal to a different demographic, just like Jean-Michel did when he went from doing dinner to doing dessert. Similar skill set, slightly different demographic.
The next point is once you think about changing direction, you got to make money.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you don't make money, that's fine, but that's called a hobby.
Yeah.
So you have to find a price point where you can make money and still generate a demand. So in other words, let's just say Jean-Michel has this great idea about converting sauces into chocolate, but every chocolate piece would run $25.
That wouldn't work.
That wouldn't work. But he was able, and Jill, were able to work this so that they became reasonably priced and still had the great quality that people look for in new types of sweets.
And it probably helped that it wasn't a full-service business because, you know, restaurants have such a thin profit margin because of the fact that they have so much staff for service stuff. The third thing to think about is when you go through a change in customer demographic, think about how you'll market this to a new customer base. Mm-hmm. So obviously, Jean-Michel had to change his marketing from sit-down dinner establishment to getting people in to have chocolate. Of course, that. But also, in addition, something really smart that I saw that he did.
And Jill,
of course, was that he did sort of logo chocolates.
Yeah.
So he would custom make chocolates for companies, you know, like Comcast, Morgan Stanley, Farmers, all sorts of different wineries, operas, hotels, because really fancy hotels, if you've ever been there, they have chocolates that have their own logo on it. It's like a customized chocolate. Yeah. So yeah, he actually branched out not only from the store and getting walk-in customers, but targeting individual high-class establishments who want to make their own chocolates. And the fourth thing to think about is, when you have a small business like this, it's important to have a great website. And they definitely do, and feel free to visit it. There's a lot of... not only is the chocolate good for your stomach, it's good for your eyes. It's a beautifully, beautifully designed website. And that's www.chococalibrason, and I'll spell this, chococalibrason.com.
And also what they have on that website is the new thing they're just launching is a chocolate club.
Oh, yes. Now it's time to answer an email from one of our listeners. Hopefully we can help you out here. And this one comes from Jess. She says, I'm an artist and I want to practice my art, do it for a living, but I also want not to starve. Yeah. So what's your advice? I feel you as a poet.
As a, become an accountant. But no, the thing that I do as a strategist is I've actually worked with people in the entertainment industry on strategy. And I stole something from Jim Collins' book, Good to Great, and it's called the Hedgehog concept. Mm-hmm. And basically, this is how it is. I usually do it on paper, and it's easy to see, and it's really good for people who are very artistic and visual. They can see it. So basically, the first circle, you draw a circle, and basically you start with something that you have a passion for. All the things that you like to do that you're passionate about.
That's the middle circle.
Huh? That's the
yeah,
first
the middle circle.
Middle circle. Oh, I see what you're saying. You're looking at from...
like
from,
a bullseye.
Yeah, okay, got it. Well, these are going to be three concentric circles. Oh. So let's draw one circle, and you have the things that you're very passionate about. Then you have a second circle that overlaps it, okay? Mm-hmm. And you put all the things in there that make money, mm-hmm. all right, that you can think about, you can do that can make money. May not like them. Mm-hmm. You might like them. You may not like them, but put that in there. And then the third circle is you put... everything in there that you could be the world's best in. And now you may say, wait a minute, how can I be the world's best? Not everybody can be a Jean Michel chef and make these kind of chocolates, right? What you can do is your world could be very limited. It could be your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It could be your city, your town. It could be just a certain age group, a demographics.
And for the most part, if you have a small or medium-sized business, it should be.
You're, right.
For the most part, you're not going to be competing with the
Target.
Target. Yeah, right. Target in the Chinese market.
Or Rite Aid selling their Whitman cat chocolates. Right?
Exactly. You got to focus.
So basically, you throw all these things down in these three circles, and where these circles intersect, that will give you something that you're very passionate about, that you actually can make a living at, and that you're the best at in your area or maybe even the world if you have that kind of a dream. Yeah. And that is something that an artist can do. And you can do that with many different things. But you have to be creative. Now, if you go ahead and do these and you find out that there are no intersections, then you're not thinking hard enough. Mm-hmm. Do it again. Start over at step one and list these out, three different circles, and see where they intersect.
I've seen business things like this, and what interests me most is that in addition to the middle, the very middle where you have all three, there's also jobs that are going to hit just two of them. So there's something that you're going to love and that you're going to be the best in the world in, and there's going to be things that you love and that make money or that you're the best in the world in and that make money. So if you absolutely can't find anything just in that sweet spot in the middle, you might have to choose two.
Right. There you are.
That's all we have for today's show. Tune in next week when Santa Barbara's done. We're getting on a plane and flying over to Maui, putting on our swim trunks and getting our surfboards.
Aloha.
Exactly. You will have gotten your surfboard. I will have gotten a Mai Tai.
That's right. So grab your surfboards and see what unique businesses we found when we went over to Maui and what kind of financial endeavors we discovered that can help your business and your personal finances.
I'm Brandon.
Thanks
for listening.
Yes. Mahalo.
Our music and podcast was produced by my brother, Devin S. Norris. For all your music composition and podcast needs, check out www.devinsnorris.com.